Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, so we call the order. Mr. Baker, do we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum.
Excellent. Any audience participation?
We have none.
Okay, great. So we have minutes from the May 14th, 2026 meeting. Are there any questions or a motion?
Motion to approve, Jenkins.
Second, Kilway.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. Okay, staff reports, Mr. Baker.
All right, first we have attachment 3A, which is the financial progress report. Let's see, we spent about 73% of the budget.
Have any questions? Come on, somebody ask him a question, just one. Sorry. It's been a rough morning. So, can I entertain a motion? Thank you, Jim. Second?
Jenkins, second.
Thank you, Larry. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, the technical progress report, Mr. Stewart.
Great, thank you. So, real quick today, just a couple of things. First is just a reminder, you probably got Carrie's email on Monday, but our annual meeting will be held at the Sheraton in Cuyahoga Falls on October 9th, it's Friday, as always. So we'll have registration opening up right at the beginning of September, so be looking for that. The other thing I was going to mention, so last week I gave a little more detail on where we are with Build America 250, which is the potential upcoming transportation bill. I won't go into a lot of detail unless anyone's interested in anything, but one of the things I mentioned last week was the likelihood of the Senate voting to, to pass a short-term extension on the current funding bill that would go out to December 11th. So that did happen. Senate voted. It was pretty overwhelming. So now the House has to vote on that. It's sure looking likely that that's what's going to happen, that we probably will not be seeing legislation before the IIJA expires on September 30th. So we'll kind of continue tracking that and see what happens over the next few months. So that's all I have for today. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Matt. AMATS Federal Funds Report, Ms. Prater.
Thank you. So we began fiscal year 2027 back on July 1st, and so far we've only had a couple of items encumber, but I expect quite a few more to encumber very soon. If you do look at this year, we do have no projects that will be encumbering in the fourth quarter of this year. That was done on purpose. There's a few projects that a phase, like engineering or design or right-of-way phase, may encumber in the fourth quarter, but no projects are actually going to sell for construction in the fourth quarter of this year. And that would be the plan going forward if we can try to afford fourth quarter funding. So if you look in STBG, we have a negative at the bottom for 2027. We will definitely need to get another loan this year. That should not be too much of a trouble. The state has basically told us that they're fine with us over programming the way we have been, and we've been basically funding more projects in our area and using other people's money. So we're going to keep doing that as long as they let us. So until they tell us we can't do it anymore. So CRP funds, we do have one project in CRP this year. CRP may disappear with the next funding bill, but we're not sure when that might happen. If we do get an extension beyond the December 11th, then we still may be able to fund the CRP funds with CRP funds, the project. With CMAC, we did get a loan last year for $5 million to fund our projects, and we are deeply in the hole for CMAQ this year, but that is a statewide program, and there is money at the statewide level, so we are pretty confident that we will not have too much trouble filling that hole this year. So, and TASA, if everything sells on schedule and as planned, then we actually have a balance this year, so we should be fine in TASA. Does anyone have any questions?
I have one, if you can just clarify something for everybody.
Yeah.
While we're getting a loan, there's no interest on the loan.
No.
We're basically using others' funds.
With the loan, it automatically gets repaid. There's this, we have a budget every year in ODOT's budgeting. And so basically, if we get a $3 billion loan this year, at the same day that we get the loan in 27, it just automatically goes into 28 as a negative. So our budget in the following year goes down. So if you look at STBG in 27, we got a loan in 26 for STBG for $2.8 million. And if you look, miraculously, in 27, we're at negative $2.8 million. So the reason we're negative this year is because we got a loan last year, and we were pretty on target for this year's budget. But if you look, we get about $11.7 million in STBG, but we're down to $8.8 million because we got a loan. So it takes it out of the next year's budget automatically. So the reason we're negative this year is because we were negative last year and got a loan. So it just kind of keeps rolling down.
Just wanted to make it clear.
Yeah.
It's not what people would think is a traditional loan. There is no negative side effect from this.
Yeah.
It's basically we're using money from other MPOs this year and then paying them back next year at the same dollar amount.
And typically, we're getting it from an MPO that can't use it in the current year, but can use it in the following year. So, therefore, like, for example, we got a loan from NOAACA this year. They can use the money this year. You know, we won't get a loan from NOAACA probably this year. We may get a loan from some other MPO that can't use the money in 27, but could use it in 28. So that's why the loans typically come from different MPOs, because we're trying to balance when they need it with us getting projects done earlier. So the sooner we get our projects funded, typically the cheaper they are. So we're all for spending other people's money while we can. So
any questions?
Anybody else have any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to old business, AMATS Road Diet Report. Ms. Hoffmeyer.
Thank you. All right. So, road diets, sometimes referred to as lane reductions, are roadway configurations that reduce the number or width of rear lanes. They are often used on roads that are experiencing declining traffic volumes or a high crash history. They've historically been considered a cost-effective way to improve roadway safety. However, we will note that federal guidance has changed slightly. They have removed road diets from their proven safety counters measures list, even though that they have been included since 2012. However, there has been no definitive rationale for the reason of removal, and there is still some current guidance that will support their benefits on the FHWA's website. AMATS produced its first road diet report in 2015, but that report was mostly focusing on identifying the roadway segments with reduced traffic and excess capacity. There were 60 segments that were identified in 2015, and as of 2026, there have been 28 that have been implemented, and the new road diet report will actually go into analyzing 16 of the 28's graph history. To be included in the statistical analysis, we ensure that each road diet that has been fully implemented has at least 3 years pre-crash data and 3 years post-crash data. That also means post-adjustment year. So we gave them construction year and then an adjustment year to kind of get drivers used to the new flow where the crashes weren't taken into consideration. This is a map of all the 28 road diets, which ones were analyzed and which ones weren't. And then also, you guys will be getting data sheets in the report. They are both crash history from 2012 to 2024. That covers crash severity, fatal, serious injury, injury, property damage only, as well as crash type, such as angle, right turn, and pedestrian. You also get crash comparison tables that will compare the pre-construction, post-construction averages, and the percent change. You get that for both the crash severity and crash type as well. That one just isn't shown on here. And then for each analyzed roadway segment, there was a Welch 2 sample t-test that was performed using our software. And the test compares two independent means. And basically, it's testing to determine whether there is a significant difference between the two groups. And then you will get a little statistical box, and in there, you'll see a p-value in that red circle. And basically, you're looking for a p-value below 0.05, which would indicate a statistically significant difference. That could be positive or negative, so look at the crash values as well. And then you guys will also receive a summary table, and it is in a comparison table that shows crash percent changes by each roadway segment. It is important to note, though, that the percent changes for some of the categories, such as fatal or serious injury, FSI crashes, may appear large due to small sample sizes. In areas where an FSI crashes were rare, an increase from 1 to 2 could result in a very large percent change, even though the actual numbers will remain low. And several segments also have limited data pre- or post-implementation. And as more data does become available, these values will stabilize and offer a much clearer picture of long-term trends. The report will also continue by highlighting road diet characteristics, some design considerations, we have benefits, concerns, planning tips, and even local feedback that we have gathered. And we are requesting a motion for the policy committee to approve the final report. And I can take any questions.
Okay, not seeing any questions. Do we have a motion to approve the report?
So moved, Messner.
Thank you. Second?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. sorry. AMETS 2022-2024 Crash Report Amendment. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you again. If you recall back in February of this year, we approved the 2022-2024 Crash Report. It's something we do on an annual basis. As our staff has been working on our upcoming report for this coming year, it was discovered that we unfortunately left out a few segments of high crash intersections. So before we had 217 high crash intersections, now we have, or we should have had all along, 228. These are the 11 that's identified in your packet that were left out. Fortunately, after a careful checking process, we didn't discover any road segments or sections that were left out. It's just limited to these intersections. However, we felt it was important to make sure that we brought this to everyone so you could approve the change. Once approved, tomorrow we will work to incorporate all the new tables into our report and publish that on our website. Are there any questions about this?
Thank you. Not seeing any questions. Can we get a motion?
So moved. Jenkins.
Thank you. Second?
Second. Clear.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. New business, the public participation plan. Mr. Prater.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman, Director. The time has come for AMATS to update its public participation plan, or as we call it, the 3P. The 3P details those policies and strategies that our agency uses to engage the public throughout the regional transportation planning process here in the greater Akron area. Usually we update our 3P every 3 or 4 years, but this current update is unique in that it follows a more limited update that we conducted back in December of 2024. At that time, a number of area transit officials indicated to us that we could be doing more to engage the public regarding transit-related issues. And that slate of changes that were approved by the AMATS Policy Committee is included with the draft 3P as Appendix F. Our current update began in late spring of this year, but we took three steps. First, we began addressing a set of new best practices put forward by the federal government for MPOs with regards to public transportation, public participation. Of those best practices, we identified two concepts to include in the draft 3P. And those two concepts were visualization and scenario planning. Secondly, we looked at what other MPOs were doing across the country with regards to public participation to see what we could learn from them. Among the MPOs whose practices we looked at were two here in Ohio, OKI and MVRPC. And third, we undertook a comprehensive review of our own current 3P practices to determine what we could be doing better and more efficiently. As a result of these three steps, we think that we have compiled a draft 3P that eliminates redundant language, but is also more visually appealing and more easily comprehensible to the public. Our update process began last Thursday and actually kicked off with an online meeting of our Citizens Involvement Committee, during which a draft 3P was presented for review and comment. The public comment period will last 45 days and end on September the 20th, during which there will be a second CIC meeting, which we hope to present a final draft 3P for review and comment. We have been promoting the availability of the draft 3P and our comment period extensively on our website, amatsplanning.org. We do have a PDF link that people can view to see the item, and also an online comment form to send their comments directly to the agency. If people prefer to send them the old-fashioned way, we do have forms at the office available for them. We have also been promoting the item extensively through social media, most notably our X and Facebook pages and our YouTube channel. Last week, some of you may have received an email blast that we sent out announcing the availability of the draft 3P. We have also made arrangements to notify the public that this item is available for review and comment in several regional newspapers. And as I said, we hope to have this item wrapped up and ready for your consideration during your September meeting. And if you have any questions or concerns, I'll be glad to try to address them for you right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Kerry. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution 2026-15, Ms. Prater.
Thank you. Resolution, Amendment 13 revises funding for three projects and adds two projects to the current TIP. We're revising funding for the Kenmore Lake project. We're moving the construction year from 2027 to 2029 and adding additional funding to that project. Hopefully that project will be fully funded now. We are revising funding for the Highland Road project in Macedonia because the project cost estimate has almost doubled. And we also revised the State Road Phase 2 project because the construction funding phase actually has reduced significantly in cost since it was first estimated. The two projects that we're adding is 303 in Peninsula, and that's a safety project, and Clinton Road project for resurfacing in Clinton, and that was approved previously, the previous round of funding for STVG. So that should be the last project of that round that has been approved. So anyone have any questions?
Seeing no questions, we'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve, Jaskowski.
Thank you. Second?
Second, Messner.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution carries. Thank you. Moving on to Resolution 2026-16, Mr. Garden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6B, TIP amendment for PARTA. I would like to add funds for the purchase of a service vehicle for on-road support. This new project will be scheduled in fiscal year 2027. Total project cost is $40,000. The 80% federal share is $32,000. Staff is requesting approval of resolution 2026-16. Are there any questions?
Seeing no questions, can I have a motion?
Motion, Chair.
Thank you. Second?
Second, yes.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution passes. Mr. Gardner?
Yes, sir. Attachment 6C is resolution 2026-17. The purpose of this resolution is to approve support for infrastructure condition and congestion-related performance targets. It's been a longstanding policy at AMAS to use quantifiable data in project selection. The AMAS funding policy guidelines currently employs performance data in the application process, such as ADT or pavement condition ratings in project selection. With this resolution, the staff is requesting support for the ODOT statewide targets for National Highway System pavement and bridge conditions, the level of travel time reliability, and level of truck time reliability. It also approves an Akron urbanized area target for peak hour excessive delay, non-single occupancy vehicle travel, and project level emissions reductions. AMAS agrees to plan and program projects so that they contribute toward the accomplishment of ODOT and area-wide targets for each performance measure. AMAS agrees to continue using performance-based decision-making as part of the project selection and funding process. And lastly, the staff is requesting that the policy committee support the intent of ODOT's statewide targets for air quality improvements, meaning that CMAQ-funded projects demonstrate air quality benefits. The staff is requesting approval of Resolution 2026-17. Are there any questions?
Seeing no questions, can I have a motion, please?
Mr. President.
Thank you. Second?
Second, Jurgen Green.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The resolution passes. Thank you. Moving on to other business. With the unfortunate resignation of Mayor Judge, we're in need to form a nominating committee early again. This for vice chair and chairman. Not only for the recommendation, but also what time period they're to serve, because Mayor Judge had the balance of this year and all of next year on his term. So we're looking for volunteers for the nominating committee. See any volunteers?
I'll volunteer.
Thank you, Larry.
I'll volunteer again, sir.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
All right. That's good. So typically the chairperson and the director's on the committee as well, so that will leave four of us.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank
you all. Now we can go to notification of air quality conformance concurrence letters.
And this, again, one of the most exciting stuff that you guys will hear about this weekend. As we talked about, I believe in March, the policy committee gave the AMATS director the authority to write letters of concurrence for air quality analysis, with the caveat as amended that I would make sure to report back when those letters were written. Since our last meeting in May, as I had predicted, we received two requests. Both were for the Cleveland Browns dome in Brook Park. The first one was a request when a project gets elevated to NOAACA's long-range plan, we had to do an air quality analysis. We received that analysis in April. The analysis was completed in April. We received it in, I think, June. I sent a letter concurring with that analysis, and then that project was then elevated to, once it received money through, I believe it was TRAC, that project went from the plan all elevated to the Transportation Improvement Program. Using the same air quality analysis, I had to write a letter saying that we concurred with that analysis again for its
addition to the TIP, kind of like the resolutions that we do as well for NOAACA. So both those letters were written. The concurrence had, the air quality had no impact on the greater Akron area, so I felt comfortable saying that it was good to go. Glad to have it answer any questions, except for gambling advice on the Brown scene.
Go for the under.
Yeah, go for the under.
Sorry, couldn't help that.
Yeah.
All right. That should be also. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned.